Have you ever said this prayer? Dear God, please give me patience and hurry up. Yeah, it's kind of a comical prayer when you think about it, but we're going to be talking about patience today. There's going to be kind of three parts to this. We're going to look at how most people look at patience. We're going to look at how the Bible looks at patience, and then we're going to take a look at how you might receive the patience that is so necessary in this sin-ridden world. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel here on AM 850 KFUO, Inspirational Christian Radio. And our numbers here are 505-7850. That's in the St. Louis area. Toll-free is 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is lawgospel@kfuo.org. lawgospel@kfuo.org. What is patience? I think most people think it's a state of endurance under difficult circumstances, which can also lead to persevering in the face of delay or provocation without becoming annoyed or upset. Exhibiting forbearance, that's a synonym for patience, when under strain, especially when faced with longer-term difficulties. Some people also use it to refer to the character of being steadfast. Now, sometimes we can understand what patience is not by thinking of its antonyms. One antonym would be hasty, another would be impetuous. So the whole concept of patience, therefore, is something that is really in religion quite a virtue. For example, Job is a figure that appears not only in the Old Testament, mentioned in the New Testament, and even in the Quran, and his story is considered a profound religious example of patience. At its core, of course, we have the theme of the coexistence of evil and God, and the application of patience is highlighted as the antidote to the earthly struggles caused by that coexistence. In fact, there are near apocalyptic calamities that Job endures, but he does not lose his patience in the sense that he reproaches the divine. By the way, in the Quran, the person of Job is actually known as Ayyub. That's an Arabic word, which is a name that is symbolic of the virtue of patience. There's no doubt in the Old Testament that patience and fortitude are prominent themes, and even outside in rabbinic writings, such as the Talmud, patience is extolled as an important personal trait. Take the prophet Micah, for example. He suffers many challenging conditions, and yet does he not endure when he says, "I will wait for the God who saves me"? Patience in God, it is said, will aid believers in finding the strength to be delivered from the evils that are inherent in the physical life. There are several proverbs that speak about patience. The patient man shows much good sense, but the quick-tempered man displays folly at its height. That's Proverbs 14, verse 29. But it gives you a pretty good idea of what God considers to be patience. The opposite is quick-temperedness. In fact, that's also found in Proverbs 15. An ill-tempered man stirs up strife, but a patient man allays discord. That is, he sets it aside. Or in Proverbs 16:32, a patient man is better than a warrior, and he who rules his temper than he who takes a city. Notice how having a temper and not being patient seem to be coinciding. Finally, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 8, and 9. Better is the patient spirit than the lofty spirit. Do not in spirit become quickly discontented, for discontent lodges in the bosom of a fool. So that's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning with verse 8 and 9. So when it says, namely, better is the patient spirit than the lofty spirit, what does that really mean? Well, what that's talking about is the whole concept of better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So there we have another distinction between patient and proud. Whereas what we're talking about is if someone is not patient, then they are quite proud. You know, they get to think a lot about themselves when you're not patient, thinking that, boy, I'm the kind of person that really needs to know what's going on. So patient and proud are two things that are really quite interesting here. And we're trying to figure out if patience is something that any human being can do, or is it something that only Christians can do? This is where law and gospel is so helpful. There are always three motivations behind every action that could be in place. The one motivation is you do something because you're afraid of the consequences. The other motivation is you do something because you're looking forward to the reward. The third motivation is you're doing something out of love for Jesus Christ. The first two are referred to as law motivations. I could get my kids to do anything I wanted if I put my mind to it when they were younger. I could actually get them to go to bed without watching television by one of two ways. I could say, if you don't go to bed right now, you will not be going to the baseball game tomorrow. So out of fear of not going to the baseball game, they go to bed early. Or I can say, if you go to bed right now, I'll give you $100. Now, I never did things like that. But the point I'm making is the motivation of the law is extremely powerful. It is that which keeps, at least as best as we have it, a society without going into turmoil. But then there is this motivation that is apart from law motivation. It's called the motivation of the gospel, where we do something out of love for Jesus Christ. Now, can patience come about because of wrong motivation? And the answer is absolutely yes. It is a fact that even in our society, an ill-tempered man is not thought of as highly as a patient man. And people get to know that. You know how people's behavior changes depending on the environment in which they are in. You could be working on the assembly line in a factory and saying all kinds of rough language, but if the next day you go to church, you won't have any of that kind of language coming out of your mouth. In the environment, where you're at, makes a difference. Because on the assembly line, perhaps it's the in thing to do. Namely, maybe say curse words, etc. Everybody else is doing it. But at church, it's the in thing not to do it. People will look really down on you if you start swearing in church in a typical conversation. So we can train ourselves to pretend to be patient, even though the insides may be really rolling around out of impatience. But we don't want to be perceived as being impatient, because then we are lessened in the eyes of others. So it is true that there are people who can appear to be enduring a situation, and we give them much credit for it. But God doesn't read what we do by its outward work. He's always taking a look at the inward heart. Are we practicing patience out of law motivation or out of gospel motivation? If we're practicing out of law motivation, doing it for fear of punishment or hope of reward, then we're really doing it to our own glory. Our own glory is more important than anything else. It was just really interesting watching a murder mystery recently that the police came to inform the family that one of their loved ones had died. And in the course of the conversation, there were two things that struck me, that the people were not that sad that one of their loved ones had died. And the thing that really heightened that lack of sadness is one of the men was kind of out of the one side of his eye looking at television. There was a football game on, and he became real perturbed when the team didn't do the right kind of play that he thought they should have done. And here he had just heard that a dear friend of him had died. So you could kind of guess that these people really didn't love that individual who had been murdered. And it wasn't a surprise later on to find out that one of them had actually done it. You see, the point I'm making is that our own desires often will become more important than the will of God. But we can pretend to be following the will of God when in reality we're just following our own desires to look good in front of other people. So patience, we kind of know what it is, but we really haven't talked about it yet in the Christian life. In the Christian life, a person who increases in patience, that work is viewed as coming from the influences of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of interesting that patience is not one of the three theological virtues, nor one of the traditional four cardinal virtues, but it is one of the seven virtues, alongside chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, kindness, and humility. We've already noted where it's found in the Bible, in the Old Testament, but here's a passage from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be patient with all. See that no one returns evil for evil. Rather, always seek what is good for each other and for all. Now, those parts of the commandments that the Apostle Paul is bringing up help us to fill out what God considers a patient person to be. You are not returning evil for evil, and that can be very hard, especially if you have the opportunity to do so. Now, what moves the Christian not to be impatient when the whole world appears to be quite impatient? The promises of God once more come to bear. You see, in not getting even with someone, what promise of God are you particularly thinking about? You're thinking of, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So God gives you a promise there, that there's no need for you to get even. You don't hold accountable people for their sins. God's job is that. And he will fulfill what he has promised. So we can be patient, enduring, long-suffering, because we know God is still in control. And that's where the motivation for proper patience comes from. Not that there is a God, because a lot of religions believe there's a God and they tremble in fear. But there is a God who has made specific promises for your help, for your comfort, for your salvation. And he will not go back on his promises. The book of James uses an analogy, reminding us how the farmer waits patiently for the precious fruit and harvest from the earth. In Galatians, patience is listed as one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And according to Galatians 5, against such things, there's no law. That is, those are good. Now, you would wonder, well, Why would those things be considered good? Because that's not the way of the world. The way of the world, for example, does not want to love someone that they need to get even with. They're not joyous at times in times of great depression. They're not kind to others who have done them unkindly. And the list goes on. But God is saying, no, if you are loving and joyful and kind and patient, against such things, there is no law forbidding you to do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible states that Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. 1 Timothy 1, 15 to 17. That's an interesting passage. Remember, Timothy is a book being written by the Apostle Paul to his good friend Timothy, who is becoming a pastor in the Holy Christian Church. And this is really part of the first chapter, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me Jesus Christ might show all patience as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So notice where patience comes in. This was part of the virtuous life of Jesus himself here on earth. He went to the cross without murmuring. He was patient with his people. His goal under the law was to make people aware of their sins. One of the most patient and loving actions he had done was taking the whip into the temple and whipping those who, because of their unbelief, rejected the true Christ. There will be many in heaven who will give thanks for the patience of the apostles as they struggled strongly with great temptation, but remained patient throughout it all. Now, it's kind of interesting that in other religions, patience is one of the most important things. For example, in the Qumran, the Islamic faith, patience is one of the most valuable virtues of life. It's unfortunate, though, that it's tied into the belief that an individual can grow closer to God and thus attain true peace. And that's sad, because that is one who's living under the law, who thinks that he's the one who grows closer to God, and when he has accomplished that, he attains true peace, rather than the other way around, as Christianity teaches, that peace came to you, as the angel said to the shepherds. God is the one driving all the verbs. He's doing all the action. Peace comes to you not because you grow closer to God, but for no apparent reason at all. God is at peace with you for no apparent reason within you, but certainly for a reason outside of you, and that's the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The love of Jesus for you was so strong that he was willing to experience the worst kind of death possible in that day, crucifixion, and take upon himself all of your sins so that you are no longer held accountable. Not being held accountable is the essence of what is forgiveness. It's found in no other religion except in Christianity. In most religions, God won't hold you accountable when you do the things you're supposed to do, when you make up to God for the items that you're supposed to do. Our phone lines here are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's take a moment and talk to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Comments a little bit earlier. I guess my thoughts were more towards forgiveness and patience, but it sounded like you were kind of getting the same thoughts. And I want to know what you think, like, as far as forgiveness. What I have come to understand is that I have forgiveness because of my sins being punished on the cross, but then when somebody else offends me, then I have to realize that God says that all sins have been punished. And just as far as helping me to see that that forgiveness comes from outside of me, too, like it's an act of faith, believing God that he actually has taken care of that. Like it's an offense against me is something that I don't need to take vengeance on, because God already has on the cross, and if that person does not become a believer, then God will take care of it eternally. But I don't need to get in between that person and God.
Yeah, the accountability in the spiritual realm, we forgive them because Christ took that on the cross. The accountability in the temporal realm, we also don't get involved with because we don't have the authority. We don't have the office of accountability. But we can go to those that God has put into that office. So if somebody robs me, if I'm a storekeeper, I cannot go chasing them down the street and shoot them. But I can go to the police, and God then takes over. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. So there's a little difference in the temporal realm. We don't take vengeance or withhold accountability there because God is the one who does it. But in the spiritual realm, to forgive someone for their sin for eternity, that's just understanding that Jesus already did that on the cross.
Yeah, that's what I guess. Yeah, the forgiveness was always something that was. I didn't see how someone could truly forgive. Like everybody says, I've forgiven them, and second, that's not within us, is it? To just say, oh yeah, you know, I'm just not gonna take any account of what they've done. If someone does offend us, like if it's not coming from God, from outside of us on the cross, I just don't see how it could be legitimate.
No, it can't be. Now, we need to be careful here when we say, I can't take an account of it. You can help yourself to be angry. God is still angry with sin. Forgiving someone does not remove anger. It also does not create a relationship. Because just because you forgive, the other person may not receive that forgiveness, and a relationship still may not come about. So we need to be careful that we don't broaden the view of forgiveness to the point where even God can't forgive.
Okay.
Well, when we refuse to forgive someone, we are sending ourselves up higher than God in saying, yes, God won't hold them accountable, but I'm more important than God, and I am going to hold them accountable. And I'm talking about in the spiritual realm for eternal damnation.
Right.
If we judge a person at that level, then take heed, lest ye judge yourselves in the same way. And who wants to be judged by their works? Okay, Joe, thanks so much for calling. Our numbers here are 1-800-730-2727, long distance, which is toll free. We're talking about patience, and what we're going to move into now are some Bible passages that talk about how to receive that patience right after the break.
So, how did you feel about the outcome of the election? Are you one of those people who wasn't very happy? What do you do with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13? Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Let's talk about 1 Peter 2 with Pastor Michael Walder next time on our 10:05 Bible study.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. Here's a recipe for your Sunday afternoon as you go about your way enjoying the day. Just be sure to stay tuned to AM 850 KFUO for great Christ-centered music, along with practical thoughts and some of my own real-life experiences blended in as well, all designed to help you keep Christ in your mind. Join me, won't you? That's Jubilation every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on AM 850 KFUO.
I'm Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Veterans of the Vietnam War didn't get the positive support and attention that today's military personnel often receive. Here's my colleague, Dr. James Dobson, with a reminder that we must always take care of our servicemen, no matter when they served.
They really went through it because when they came home, they were spit upon. They were hated by their countrymen, and they'd been out trying to protect us and to do the bidding of our government. And they came home and didn't even have what the military people today have, which is appreciation and respect and love for the most part.
A person's life is forever affected by what he sees in combat, and time may not heal those wounds. It's only through acceptance and open communication that the horrific experiences of war can be dealt with. If you've served during any wartime conflict, you can find encouragement and direction at our website, FocusOnTheFamily.com.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Roland.
On the next afternoon show, 3 to 5:45 on AM 850 KFUO.
Wesley Smith about life, death, selling body parts, abortion. It's a troubling time with
a little chit-chat here with
politics.
Wesley Smith. Okay.
Well, some serious stuff, maybe.
We'll talk with Jane Wilkie about a new song, her contribution to this study of the Psalms for women. Psalm 73, I believe, is the one she's going to focus in on.
All right.
On the next afternoon show. Be there.
When?
3 to 5:45.
Thank you.
Sign on at 7, Friday morning. Wake up with inspiration, information, and compelling Christian conversation on the morning show on AM 850 KFUO, along with our regulars like Dr. Randy Tobler, Pastor Warren Worth, Dr. Lane Berglund, and Marty Lindfett. We'll tell you how to smile like a celebrity. Dr. Michael Krauss will be with us. We'll also tell you about all natural options for better health. Mark Stengler, our guest. That's just some of the things happening tomorrow on AM 850 KFUO.
Ah, snow days. An ideal time for relaxation and hot chocolate. Unless you're an Odyssey, of course. On the next Adventures in Odyssey, Alex is on a mission to get a batch of his mom's world-famous cookies safely to Grandma's house. Unfortunately, Rodney Rathbone and the Bones of Wrath are hot on his trail. Will Alex persevere? Find out on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Did you know that 66% of parents who adopt children from foster care are married couples and 34% are single individuals, people just like you? November is National Adoption Month. With more than 129,000 children waiting for a loving family, you can make a decision that will change lives forever. Have you considered adoption? Visit lfcsmo.org. or call 314-787-5100. Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Growing hope.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. Why would you glory in tribulations, sufferings? That's what we're talking about in regard to the word patience in the scripture. So we've talked about how the world looks at patience. We've taught the three motivations that can all lead to patience. The first two are self-centered, fear of punishment, hope of reward. The last one is faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that we glory in tribulations. Now, what is he speaking here? Well, tribulations is oppression or distress or affliction, persecution. These kinds of things, he glories in them? What does that mean? Well, to glory in something means not to boast of it and be proud about it, but to thank God that you're receiving that. Why? Because tribulation produces, and here's the word, patience. The King James says perseverance. I'm sorry, it says patience. The New King James says perseverance. The ESV says endurance. So these are all synonyms, and I don't have a problem with any one of them. In fact, you can also talk about a fortitude, a steadfastness. You kind of have that patient expectation. That's another way of translating it. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Wow. There, the patience of Jesus Christ is synonymous with his kingdom. Why? Because in the kingdom, we're patient. We don't have to wait for God. He's already there. and his second coming is going to come in due time when he is ready. So that's why patience sometimes has this idea of expecting in a contented way. But let's look a little bit more at this Romans, that tribulation produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. So that, take a look like a little child would. He's pretty independent when he is 2, 3, 4 years old, wants to be by himself, until something goes wrong. Maybe he spills his food. Maybe he hurts himself while he's playing. He has tribulation. And so who does he call for? He calls for his mommy or daddy. He has, therefore, perseverance and patience that they will come. And as they come and help him through that, his character becomes more mature. He recognizes that there are ways to solve problems, and that character, therefore, produces hope within him. He can become quite optimistic about the future, knowing that whatever happens to him, he will have a hope of things going okay. And hope is that which does not disappoint. Now, verse 5, and we're looking here at Romans chapter 5, gives the true motivation for such patience. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What does that mean? What does a piece of doctrine mean for me? That the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Well, two things important. What is the love of God? That he took you when you weren't just in tribulation or suffering, you were his enemy. And he took you while you were in that condition and died on the cross for you. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life, not just for a friend, but for his enemy. That understanding of what Jesus Christ did for you has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God and come to a recognition as to how you are being saved, then you have great comfort, you have great hope, and you have great patience, because you don't have to solve all the problems. God is in charge. That's how patience comes about, according to Romans 5, verses 3 and following, through perseverance. It's somewhat interesting that Jesus himself speaks about patience a number of times. He's talking about the sower who goes out to sow seed. Some falls on thistles, some falls on shallow ground, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What is patience? In many cases in the Bible, it's endurance to the end. And why do we need endurance to the end? Because when we look around us, we're not really living in a community of the faithful a lot of times. There may be people who go to church, but they can be pretty mean during the rest of the week. The community of the faithful is really a spiritual community. It's the Holy Christian Church surrounding us, and includes even the company of those in heaven who join us in receiving the very body and blood of Jesus Christ during the Lord's Supper. The point I'm making here is that the patience and perseverance comes about because not only are you not in control, you don't need to be in control, somebody else is. To believe the promises of God means to believe that he is in control and that timing is in his hands. So, you plant seed, and you are patiently waiting for it to come up because you know the end result will far outweigh the amount of time it took to come out. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, that's talking about patience in the sense of endurance. How can you endure the race you have set before you? Well, for two reasons. Number one, you've already won. Yeah, the winner's crown has already been taken. Jesus Christ was a winner. And because you are affiliated with him, you get the benefits. The benefits of that win. So to ask for them ahead of time or to plead for them, this is not right. Because you don't really deserve them. Because all the good that you do is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The testing of your faith, according to James 13, produces patience. Now, how so? Imagine that you're never tested in the faith. That means you would just keep on living. You would just keep on doing your thing. You would think everything is honky-dory. But when your faith is tested, that means you're not in control. And it means you need to look to the one who is. Your endurance can come about because you know he's in control, and no matter what happens, it will be according to his will. Now, nothing ever happens contrary to his will. Not that he wishes that you would have sinned, but he certainly qualifies the extent of sin and its effects on the community. God has the power to do that. But in this particular case, where we're talking about an opportunity where patience can come about simply when your faith is tested. It's tested many a time when people don't agree with you. Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 37, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now, we may think that God has been tarrying, that it's taken a long time in coming, because it's been a long time. But remember, a year is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like a day. There's no concept of time that God has that is the same as ours. So, we get impatient when God doesn't fulfill what he's promised to us. But that's only an act of unbelief that thinks that God doesn't know what he's doing. Or that something got in his way. Something impeded God. To be impatient with God is to make God into an idol. Someone or something that doesn't exist. Just ask the next time somebody gets impatient with God or gets angry, why are you angry with God? And I guarantee they will tell you something about God that God is not. They will say, well, if he really loved us, he wouldn't have allowed our child to die. Or if he really is with me, then he would make me more brave when I get into tough situations. And the list goes on and on. So we become impatient with the true God because we make things up about him that aren't true. And therefore, what happens is that people are not patient either. That's why trust and trust in Jesus Christ alone will give you that higher level and higher degree of patience. Now, that trust comes about not because you decide to believe, but because you immerse yourself in word and sacrament through which the Holy Spirit works in increasing faith. James 5, establish your hearts, be patient, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, he wrote this almost 2,000 years ago. The Lord still hasn't come. But you see, what James is pointing out is that he could come at any moment. So being at hand doesn't mean he's going to come for sure in a short period of time. It means instead that we have been patient. We have waited for him. And that patience is godly when it's not taken to the extreme of trying to get something that's not yours. Patience is being content with what you have. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, there's two ways of reading every Bible verse that has theology in it, the wrong way and the right way. The wrong way is to assume legalism, which means because I do something, I'm getting benefits from God. And that's pretty easy to read into this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and then he inclined to me and heard my cry. No, no. The opposite is true. He inclined to me and heard my cry as I waited patiently for the Lord. What you're waiting patiently for is not his answer. You know he has an answer. You know he has voiced it. What you're looking for is to be told what the answer is. Thus, the patience that we have doesn't lead to salvation. It actually is a result of our salvation. Psalm 27 connects some other items with patience. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, what is the key element in that passage that moves us to be patient? Once more, we're going to find from a law gospel perspective, it's the gospel promise. And here's the promise. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So what's my part in inheriting the earth? Waiting on the Lord? No, I can be brought into that situation anonymously. There is no part I do, because that's the way God is. And so it's tough to learn to be patient, and it is impossible to do so apart from Jesus Christ. Because not only is he our example for patience, but he is also the one who sent the other comforter, the Holy Spirit, to go into our hearts and create a patience within us that is far beyond any understanding. To wait patiently for the Lord is simply to believe his promises, which we do, that he will take care of us better than the flowers in the field and the birds in the air. Lamentations, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, I find that kind of interesting, that we are to wait quietly for the salvation of the world and hope for it. And God then puts together a way of helping us to wait patiently in pointing us to Jesus Christ as the one true life and the one who brings us into a right relationship with him. Patience, therefore, is that which is a gift of the Holy Spirit for Christians if you want to have the right motivation. Eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, says Romans 2:7. Now, once more, we can misunderstand this passage. It sounds like you're going to get eternal life because you were patient in doing good. It's not that you are not patient in doing good, it's just that it doesn't merit eternal life. This is really an evidence, not a basis of eternal life. That is to say the following. When God comes looking for you on that eternal judgment day, he's going to ask the question, do you have fruit of the Holy Spirit? And if you have one scintilla of it, just a little bit of it, you are saved. Because apart from Christ, you can't have any fruit of the Holy Spirit. Others will be able to show their good works, but we will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And therefore we wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You will be kept in perfect peace, Isaiah 26 says, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Now, do you notice how every time the gospel is mentioned, it first gives the promise and then it gives the reason tied to the Holy Trinity? It never kind of gives you an idea you'll have the promise if you do these things. No, it gives the promise because you in patient continuance do good work and seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And that is the goal of the Christian, so that we have a far better community in reaching out to others with the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's not that by your patient continuance in doing good works you earn heaven. It is because you've been adopted into the family of God that spontaneously now you have patient continuance in doing some good. Now, you'll never reach perfection. None of us do, because we're here on earth until that final judgment day when the spiritual, when the incorruptible takes over the corruptible. Again, from Isaiah 26. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Now, isn't that interesting? That how do you get to the strength of God? By trusting in him. It's the same with an orphan in a family. You simply trust, say, where the parents are. It's at nighttime, they're sleeping. And so you go to them and ask for help, and they'll give it to you. So you learn to trust them. If they say something, they're probably going to be able to fulfill it on your behalf. Now, that's real trust, and it's also real patience on your behalf. Romans 8:25 talks about the hope that we're about to have. If we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, though there are some general signs that the end of the day is coming, the judgment day, by and large, those ordinary signs really don't point forward to the application of what we are to believe. And the application of what we are to believe is we do not see the hope before us, but we realize for sure that God has given us that sure hope in the work and admonition of his servants. So that maybe you'll resonate to Isaiah 25 verse 9. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God, and we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You see, that's what some of those who are not alive in Christ are enduring. But they can come to a understanding of God, even though they are sinners dead in trespasses, where God no longer will hold them accountable for their sins. That is the essence of forgiveness. And to underscore that, God also gives us the robe of righteousness. And that's a robe that we have on because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that glorious exchange that took place. So in patience, we're dealing with a situation where this is a virtue of man, because in a sin-fallen world, you want to be told anything. You want to go where you want to go. You want to do what you want to do. You don't need to be told anything. But here comes God, who tells you everything. And we comply to it. Why? Because we are of the mindset that God is faithful and he will not desert us. And that is a mindset that will do us well throughout our entire life. On tomorrow's Long Gospel, by the way, as we near the end of this hour, we're going to be having open mic Friday for your questions and comments. But we also received a updated parable, shall we say, on the parable of the 10 talents, which we had discussed on Monday. We're going to read portions of that updated parable and see what you think about it. The parable of the 10 talents, where a farmer went away, an owner of a vineyard, and gave money to his workers to see how much they would gain when he returned. And, of course, the one didn't gain anything because he buried it. And we're going to take a look at that story from a biblical point of view and then kind of update it with the parable that I was sent. In the meantime, we do have some new books out for purchase. We have a new one by Pam Bellotti, where she talks about law and gospel for elementary school children. If you want to get any of these, you go to lawgospel.com, lawgospel.com. And if you purchase anything, be sure to put in for the secret code 850, because that will probably be the code that will give you free postage and handling on any of your orders. Go to lawgospel.com. There's a wonderful array of products for Christmas giving. What better way to give something to someone who can continue to read it or listen to it? It's not all gone like food or something like that, but it's a way of bringing Christ into the house as well as sharing a message that can be most helpful to people who still are in the throes of darkness or weak faith. In the next hour, we're going to be taking a look at some emails, a couple of other subjects that came up across our desk, and you can phone us. And if you have something just about this hour or something that you'd like to talk about, don't hesitate to do so at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The bottom line of this hour is that patience is indeed a virtue if it is done with the proper motivation. And that proper motivation is done out of the promises of God that sustain you, that save you, and that are keeping you in the one true faith until that day of judgment when you will be rescued. We all have been rescued from the death of sin and the sin of death. But now we need to share that message with others who remain in the darkness of unbelief so that they may receive just a little bit of what we have received by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. I'm Tom Baker. Please stay with us through the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.